Earlier this week, Channel 9 WTOP News had an episode where they said that Loudoun County is the second happiest county in the United States to live. Now, this was said by Smart Assets, so based on a poverty level of only 3.7%, employment opportunities, keeping in mind that unemployment's 2.48%, and life expectancy, 83.19 years. So if you're 83.20 years, you're out of luck. But the idea was that here we are, are the ideas of being happy. Now, however, here we are living in this happy county. There is poverty and there's unemployment. And there's 20,000 people in our county who are food at risk. We also have the second highest property taxes in Virginia. So, when you receive your tax bill, remember, you're happy. And then also, we have the second worst traffic in the country. 150 hours are spent in congestion for each one of us each year. That's almost a whole week of our life. And then the suicide rate, released by the Center for Disease Control this week, said it's up 30% in the past 15 years. And in Virginia, Loudoun County exceeds all the rest of Virginia and also the United States in the average rates. So I guess we really aren't all that happy. But our Lord isn't promising us some kind of fleeting happiness. If we're trying to pursue some kind of fleeting happiness, we're going to be always disappointed. That happy feeling comes and it goes. But what our Lord does promise us in the gospel is peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." Peace. In Hebrew, it's the word shalom. Shalom means, yes, peace, but the idea of a peace because of right relationships, having the right relationship with God, with our neighbor, with ourself. So an integrity, a wholeness of the person will find peace. Peace, too, involves a tranquility of heart. Peace also is a joy of knowing, especially as our Lord would say, the love of God, how much God loves each one of us. Consider what the world says is peace, though. Well, it might be that idea of the fleeting happiness. If I have all that I want and I'm happy, then I have peace in my life. But really, when we think about the world, it's a very fragile kind of peace. It's something that is temporary, something that is superficial, and also, hate to say it, something oftentimes driven by selfishness. We hear many of the politicos talk about having peace, but the idea is we'll have peace if I have what I want the way I want it. So they use all those buzzwords like being tolerant and having unity and having peace, but the idea behind it is that if you don't agree with me, I will not tolerate you. I will demonize you, vilify you, exclude you, condemn you, and we can go on and on. That's not the peace that we want either. The peace comes with Jesus. And Jesus tells us how to find that peace in our lives. So the first question is, have we found it? Well, if we haven't quite found peace in our lives, then our Lord says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." The peace, then, that tranquility, that joy, that wholeness within ourselves, begins by uniting ourselves with the Word of God. God's Word is living. Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. But we have that Word of God in our texts of sacred scripture. So if you really want peace in your life, I would encourage you, take time each day to read your Bible. Begin with the New Testament, especially the Gospels. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you should buy one, But then also, if you find that somehow daunting, the little Magnificat book has scripture passages for each day, including the daily Mass readings. I really, though, encourage you, especially as we're approaching summer, pull out the Bible, start with the Gospel of Matthew, and read. You don't read it like a novel. Rather, we read it a little bit at a time. We read a passage. We insert our life into it. We think about it, meditate on it. We think about how our Lord is giving us a sharing of His life and calling us to unite Himself, ourselves with Him. The words of sacred Scripture give us strength, encouragement, empowerment, and hope to face this world. I guarantee you, if you spend time each day just reading a passage, thinking about it, meditating on it, applying it, you will know the presence of our Lord. As Jesus said, the love of the Father will come and dwell within our hearts. We have to then also live it, for Jesus says, whoever loves me will keep that word. So we have to live that. So as we start each day, if we really want to have that peace of heart, take time for a little prayer. Now, this could be before you get out of bed. It could be, in my case, when you're shaving. But think of some very powerful Bible verses like, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Or, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Powerful verses that are going to give us the direction we need each day to live life with our Lord, and no matter what we face, to still have that inner peace of life. Another good practice would be simply go through the Ten Commandments. A good friend of mine said that his father taught him from a very early age, every day in the morning, go through the Ten Commandments, and you will live a better life, and you will treat people better also. This is a good way to live. But with that Word of God, then, dwelling within us, we also need teachings of the Church. You well know the life we live in this world and the issues that we face. It would be nice to say that every issue that we have to face each day is covered in sacred Scripture. It's not. Jesus didn't say anything about nuclear war or in vitro fertilization or any of these other complicated issues. The principles are there. But our Lord also gave us a church that teaches. And He said, I give you the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, the church teaches. Go to our first reading. Here we are around the year 48 AD. St. Paul's gone off and he's been converting Gentiles. So the question comes, do Gentiles have to become Jews before they become Christians? Do these Gentile converts have to be circumcised and follow all of those Torah dietary practices and so on? St. Paul says no. St. James the Lesser says yes. Well, they discuss this. And it's St. Peter, and we miss that part of the passage, but St. Peter gives the guidance. And he reminds them that Christ has given us a new life. He's made a new covenant. We aren't bound by the old covenant sign of circumcision, the blood of the cross, and baptism. That's our sign of the new covenant. And we aren't obeying all those old Torah dietary laws, Christ has given us a new law of love. So they come to the conclusion, you don't have to be circumcised, but you don't do anything, Gentile converts, that are part of pagan idolatry, like eating these sacrificed animals and things like that. So the church teaches, and it continues to do so. We need that. Because if we want peace in our world, we have to live by God's truth. Truth and God's love is the basis for peace. But that means then we put it into action. You and I, if we have this peace of heart, are called to bring peace to this world. I think of the beautiful prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, unity. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is error, truth. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is dying that we are born to eternal life." That prayer reflects the Word of God present in St. Francis's life and lived out, put into action. This is our challenge. My brothers and sisters, in this world, this is our challenge. But if we live this way, we'll find that peace and we'll find joy. I remember years ago, back when I was a chaplain at Marymount University, once a week I took kids, a group of five or six, down to Mother Teresa's soup kitchen in Southeast Washington. And the kids there would help prepare the meals, serve the homeless people. And these really were poorest of the poor. Some of the girls would even help with the single moms who lived there and help with the baby care and so on. I remember one of the students saying to me as we were driving back, "You know, Father, those sisters are so happy, and that place is so peaceful." Well, my brothers and sisters, that's the way our home should be, the way our personal lives should be, and God willing, with our help, that's the way our country should be. But you and I can't solve all the problems of the world, but we can start by helping to change one heart at a time and bringing it to the love and peace of Jesus Christ. The real challenge is the first heart has to be our own. May God bless you.